Finding the trauma center wasn't hard. Once inside, amid the bright lights and muted sounds and quietly purposeful traffic of the hospital, things got a little dicier. The staff initially tried to keep Anya from seeing Paul in intensive care. It seemed to be a well-run facility, so Anya didn't even try playing her journalist cum TV personality card. It was never her first choice in any event. But Paul's family had yet to arrive, given that the crime had actually occurred while she was in transit from New York to Houston. His next of kin, it seemed, would only arrive late that evening. Though the nurses wouldn't say so, Anya got the sickening impression they didn't expect him to live long enough to see them. In the meantime, Paul was asking incessantly for Anya Creed, so his doctors and the police officer in charge of the case agreed to let her in. Sunlight streamed through the window. The early online weather reports had showed clouds over western Oklahoma, but they'd dissipated by the time her flight touched down. Paul was all tubes and bandages and taped on wires. Half his face was obscured by a bandage. But his good brown eye was open. It turned toward her as she walked in the door.
Anya.
He tried to sit up. Paul. Anya stopped in the doorway, momentarily overcome. The nurse who had escorted Anya to the room, a short, wide woman, moved past Anya. Though a head shorter, she was heavy enough to push Anya aside as if she were a child. Anya frowned, but held her temper. She's doing her job, she told herself.
Now, Paul, calm down.
The nurse turned and glared back with narrowed blue eyes.
Miss Creed, I'm afraid you're going to have to cut short your visit after all.
No. Please, Rosalie, please. I have to talk to her. I have to tell her.
Okay. He seems to really need to get something off his chest. It may be good for him to have company. I'll give you 5 minutes. And I do not want you stressing my patient. Please, tell me you understand.
Anya took no offense at the woman's words or her tone. A good nurse had the same outlook on anyone or anything that might prove detrimental to her patients as a mother grizzly bear toward potential threats to her cubs.
I understand.
And Anya did, perfectly. Herself a chronic defender of innocence, she could only approve of the nurse's protectiveness. The nurse looked at her a beat longer, then she nodded.
All right. Call me if any changes happen. I'll be right outside.
The nurse left. Anya sidestepped to give her plenty of clearance. Then she moved forward and took Paul's unbandaged hand.
Paul, what happened?
The torn lips quirked into a painful smile.
Something right up your alley, Anya.
What's that, Paul?
Suddenly, his fingers clenched hers in a death grip.
A monster.
For a mad moment, she thought he was making a joke well beyond good taste. But his lone visible eye showed white all around, and a tear rose in the corner of it and rolled down his cheek. His whole body seemed to tense.
Paul, please, calm down.
No, there's no time. There's something out there, Anya. Something awful. It killed them.
What did?
His fingers dug into her hand.
That creature.
Paul, please, settle down. You're getting upset and not making any sense.
Anya, I saw it. It was a wolf, but it wasn't. Sometimes it seemed like a man, sometimes like an animal. And it killed and killed.
That's just the movies.
No. It looked like a wolf, but it didn't move like one.
He shook his head from side to side so violently, Anya was afraid he'd pull something loose.
It was terrible. Oh, God, it killed him. It was so fast, so strong, not anything natural.
Why would a wolf attack such a large group of people?
It made no sense to her that a solitary member of a pack-hunting species would attack multiple human beings. It totally reversed the whole mathematics of wolf predation.
It wasn't natural, I tell you. It wasn't an animal.
His eye rolled.
Anya, listen, it wasn't an animal. It wasn't, and it's hunting me.
He sat up and grabbed her arm with his good hand.
It was a skinwalker, a Navajo wolf. I saw his eyes, those glowing.
Paul seemed to shrink, then fell back onto the bed. His one visible eye stared at the ceiling.